Welcome to this week's edition of Focus Friday here on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick with WKLM, and this week our focus is on Lisa Welch, the director of the Board of Elections here for Holmes County. And Focus Friday this week is being brought to you by Hobbins Insurance, Holmes Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. So thank you, Lisa, for joining in with us today. I know a lot of folks think they know what you do here at the Board of Elections, but you know, we're going to kind of focus today on what it is you guys actually do. So thanks for joining with us.
Well, I'm glad to help you and be here and talk to people. And I'm always about education for the voters because it seems that civics classes are taught very young. So a lot of that is not retained, and folks have a lot of questions when they come into our office. So I want to get those things cleared up for everybody.
So you are the director here of the Board of Elections. Let's just start out with, how do you get to be in that position?
Okay, the boards of elections in Ohio are made up of two Democrat and two Republican members. Those members are each appointed by their respective central committees, approved by the Secretary of State's office. And then every 2 years, usually the first week of March, we have a reorganization, and whoever the current four board members are, they pick the director to serve for 2 years as the director of the Board of Elections to basically administer the elections. They also choose a deputy director who is the opposite party, so that we're bipartisan, just like the board. And then we have some part-time seasonal staff that they also approve, and then any fill-in staff that we need, like poll workers during the year, they will approve at that time also.
And how long have you been serving as the director here?
I've been with the Board of Elections over 25 years, but I've currently been serving as the director since 2002.
And so as far as just working for the Board of Elections and becoming director, what did you see change in what you did and your role as far as helping with our elections here in Holmes County?
When I first started working for the board as a clerk many years ago, we didn't even have a computer in the office. We had lists that were produced by the Secretary of State's office based on our voter registrations that we had on a big Rolodex file. And that was basically our sole responsibility, was keeping up those files and then actually getting our old Votomatic punch card machines ready to go for election day and tabulating those votes on election night. That was pretty much our responsibility. Now our job involves a lot of computers. We have a computer to communicate with the Secretary of State's office to upload results to on election night. We have a computer that does the layout and the tabulation of all the voting system. That's the actual machines that scan the ballots at the polling locations. We upload that to another computer to get a report. Then we have a system that we run our voter registration off of. And then we actually have another computer system for security that is filming with all, you know, it's connected to all the cameras in our office and the Dropbox outside the office. So we have a lot of computers now, and hence, because we have the computers, we have a lot of IT work that has to be reviewed, and we have a lot of security protocols in place from that. So now we have a lot more focus on security issues, making sure everything is done in a very safe manner, and everything is audited to make sure that all those protocols are being followed. And we also do a lot of public records requests now that we didn't used to do. So it's a lot more work daily, where before we would have very slow periods between elections. We now don't have that.
That's a lot of change. It doesn't seem like a lot of time, but that's a lot of change in that amount of time to happen just in how our elections function.
Yes.
All right. We'll be back with more with Lisa Welch, our director of the Board of Elections here on WKLM. I am back with the Board of Elections Director, Lisa Welch. And last segment, we were talking about, you know, how you became director and what has changed. And so you said you guys prepare for the elections. What goes into preparing for an election, like as you're approaching election time?
So we have basically a master calendar that's provided by the Secretary of State's office that tells us when certain things have to be done, and then we fill in with the other things that we know have to be done. So we're coming up on an election for November for municipal offices, township trustees, school board members. We'll also have our county municipal judge. Judge Hyde will be on the ballot. So to prepare for this election, the first thing we need is polling places, poll workers, and the candidates to be on the ballot and any tax levies or issues to be on the ballot. So we're just starting into this process. We're notifying our polling places. So we're sending out just a notification to remind them, hey, we're going to be using your polling place. And then we are now passing out petitions to people that are interested in becoming office holders. So if you want to run for township trustee, come in and grab a petition and we'll have you go out and get signatures.
And we'll talk more about that too, yep, on how to do that.
And then after we verify those go to the ballot. We also are collecting any resolutions from subdivisions such as townships or villages or the county government to put local tax levies or questions and issues on the ballot, local options. We will not be having any state issues in November, but normally this is the week we would be checking state issue petitions. So if people wanted to get an initiative on the ballot, they would be filed on the 2nd-ish of July, and then we would have to be checking petitions. And this is just the front end. Then once we get all of our filings, we verify everything's correct, get it approved by Secretary of State's office, then we put together the ballots. And we have to make sure every subdivision gets its information on the correct ballot so the voter gets the right school district ballot, the right township ballot, the right village ballot, the right fire district ballot. We get those all assembled. And then we have a ballot proof that we post here at our office. We contact all the people that are involved with the ballot. So all the candidates get to verify that their information is correct on the ballot. All of the fiscal officers of the townships and villages get to see their issue to make sure everything looks right. County Central Committee chairs get to look at that. It's all posted. If everybody thinks everything looks good, then we go ahead and start producing our ballots.
Yeah, we're still way before the actual election.
Yes, we're at least 6 weeks out at this point in time.
And so once you have the ballots, they come in just before early voting starts, correct?
Usually we get our ballots just before our UACAVA deadline. And what UACAVA is, it's a program, it was an act established by the federal government to allow overseas voters to vote by mail, to allow military personnel to be able to vote by mail. So we have to have those ballots ready 46 days in Ohio, 46 days before the election, so they have a little bit of extra time for transit of their ballot overseas, and then, you know, to get a little extra time for it to come back. So we have to have it ready by the 46th day before. Now, sometimes that's a little tricky when lawyers get involved. And I don't want to just blame the lawyers, but they sue to get something changed on the ballot. And a lot of times ballot language will get changed at the last minute. And then we have to re-lay out the ballot sometimes if they've added, you know, some extra length to some of the issues or change some of the candidates. So it gets tricky getting to that 46th day. After that, then we're usually pretty smooth sailing and are ready to go at the absentee voting time for regular voters, which is usually 28 days before the election.
And then we're getting poll workers and where everybody sees when they go to vote and how that
right.
rolls. It's a lot of work, and I don't think people realize how far ahead you guys are working on one singular election.
People have no idea how hard it is to get a ballot ready. After we get that ballot ready, then we have to start testing. And we usually are doing that right before that 46th day, that week before. We're testing the ballots in our equipment to make sure everything reads correctly. We do a thing called logic and accuracy testing. Some people call it LNA testing. And we also do a public test where you can actually see our final LNA test before the election. But that logic and accuracy testing, we set every single piece of equipment up in our office and test to make sure every single person on the ballot can be voted on and it correctly is read through the scanner when we scan the ballots. We do some ballots that are overvoted to make sure that it will not count overvoted ballots. We do some blank ballots so that it can be verified that somebody wants to come in and decides they don't want to vote on a single candidate. They don't have to.
And we'll talk more about how to become a candidate here in our next segment on WKLM. I'm speaking with Director Lisa Welch for the Board of Elections. We'll be back with more. This is Melissa Patrick with WKLM. I am speaking with the Director of the Board of Elections, Lisa Welch. We've been talking about voting and how elections work and how she became the director. And in the last segment, you mentioned about the candidates having to file. If somebody's interested, there's a lot of open positions coming up in this November ballot. You were naming some of them, trustees and school board members and all kinds of things. If somebody's interested in one of those positions, they do have to come here to the Board of Elections. What do they do? What do they need to have? How do they get the petition? How does becoming a candidate work?
So all they have to do is just stop by our office, tell us what they're interested in, what position, and we will get them the appropriate petition. If you're running for school board, you need 25 signatures from your local school district, voters from your local school district. If you are running for township trustees, it's also 25 signatures. If you're running for council member for like the Village of Millersburg, it's 50 signatures. So we tell you what the requirements are, give you the appropriate petition. You go out and gather signatures from those voters. And of course, you know, you're doing that to also campaign. So when you're talking to them, you're getting your name out there so they know your name will be on the ballot. And the more signatures you get, the better it is for you, because sometimes we find that we will get signatures in that the person isn't registered to vote. We haven't gotten an address update from them and say they've moved and they're now living in your district. So we have to have extra signatures. So if we tell you 25, you know, we recommend you get like 35 to 40 signatures. Never hurts. Because you're going door to door or you're talking to people. So that's going to be your interaction with them. So they'll vote for you also. Once they get those petitions filled out, they'll come in and they'll file them with us and they'll pay a small filing fee. This election, it's $30 for any municipal or township or school district candidate to file to run for office. Once you file that, we check the petitions to verify all the signatures on them. And then our board looks those petitions over to make sure that you have the required number and there's no errors on the petition. If they think that it's sufficient, then your name will get placed on the ballot. It's pretty simple, especially for offices like the small towns, the smaller villages. They only have a requirement of 10 signatures. So you can do that probably in one night. Doesn't take a lot of effort.
And on the petition, you actually fill out the name that you'll have on the ballot so they know exactly what to look for. And that way, in case you go by a different name, they know you by, hey, Huck. It has your real name so they know what to look for and all the information that they need.
Correct. On the petition, you're going to want to put your real given name. We do have a form when you file to run for office, when you actually bring your petition back in. We ask you how you want your name to appear on the ballot. You can have a nickname if it is a derivative of your name. So let's say your name is Abraham Michael Smith. You can go by A.M. Smith on the ballot, or you can go by Abe, or you can go by Mike. The thing you cannot do is go by Bubba. So, you know, it's got to be a derivative like Bob for Robert or Mike for Michael, something like that.
And all the positions, but usually it's the people that need more. You can get help
to get the signatures that you need.
Correct. If you have to have a lot of signatures, like if you're a Millersburg council member, let's say your spouse wants to help you, you can get extra part petitions and they can be the circulator for those part petitions to help you out so that you don't have to talk to every single person when you're out campaigning.
And then once you pass all the checkpoints, once you turn in your petition, then you get to see your name on the ballot.
Yes, and it's very surprising to see people's response when they first see their name on the ballot. A lot of people want to take a picture of it and share it on Facebook or, you know, with their family members.
And just make sure when you're actually voting that you don't take pictures of your ballots.
Correct. In Ohio, there is a law that says you are not allowed to take a picture of your voted ballot. You can take a picture of your blank ballot. You can have a picture taken of, you know, you marking your ballot, but actually you can't see the ballot. People like to do ballot selfies, but as long as it's an unmarked ballot, it's fine, but not once it's marked.
So that's a good thing to remind people as well. As much as you want to show yourself voting for you, don't do it. That's a great piece of information as we are in petition season right now. So if you're interested, just stop down and visit you and get your petition.
And our filing deadline is August 6th. It's the Wednesday of the Holmes County Fair. It's always the Wednesday of the Holmes County Fair. So make sure and stop by and get your petitions now so that you can get them in by then.
All right. Well, we'll talk more with the director, Lisa Welch, for the Board of Elections here on WKLM. This is Melissa Patrick with WKLM speaking with the Board of Elections Director Lisa Welch, and we've been learning all about how the elections process works and what the Board of Elections does. And we had mentioned in the broad spectrum of how an election works, early voting, and that is something that not every state has, but here in our state you have quite a bit of time to early vote. And you do need to be registered before early voting starts.
So if you have moved recently or you've never voted, you need to register first. And all it requires is your name, address, date of birth, and some form of identification. You'll fill that out, sign it. You can actually do it online at voteohio.gov. So you don't have to sign it, but you have to have all your information with you, your driver's license number, and your social last four to do the online. If you do it in person here in our office, we just need the driver's license number or state ID number. When you come in, we'll have you fill out the form, then we process you into the system and we'll let you know then where you are eligible to vote from. So your normal election day polling place, or we'll tell you about early voting now. So the voter registration deadline is October 6th. We have to have your information with us by then to get your address updated and your name in the system. On October 7th, we start early voting. The first week of early voting is always 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and the second week is always 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. The third week for general election for the local things is 8 to 5, but in a presidential election year, we're open 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. We get an extra hour on there each day. Then the final week of early voting, we have hours from 7:30 in the morning until 7:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. We're also open on Saturday from 8 to 4 and Sunday 1 to 5. It used to be in the past you could vote on that Monday before Election Day, but we cannot do that anymore. We do not have the manpower or the equipment to get everything in place in time for voting to begin the next day. So they've gotten rid of the Monday early voting because we have so much equipment we have to distribute and get in place and double check. And it's too hard for us to do early voting on Monday. So it all ends at 5 p.m. on Sunday before the election.
And so you're coming here to the Board of Elections to vote. It's not early voting doesn't happen at the polling locations, or if you vote on Election Day, you come here to the office.
Correct. We get that phone call at least once a day. Somebody's like, well, I went to my polling place. Where do I vote today if I want to vote early? Your polling place is only on Election Day from 6:30 in the morning until 7:30 p.m. If you're doing any of the early voting, you have to come to our office here in Millersburg at the Clinton Street office building. If you want and you can't come to our office to vote or go to the polls on Election Day, you can vote by mail. But you need to get those requests in at least a week before the election because that's the last day a ballot can leave here is the Tuesday the week before. And with the Postal Service, I love the USPS, but they have to have time to get that request to us, for us to get the ballot to them, and then the ballot to get to you, and then you vote the ballot and get it all back by Election Day. And 1 week is not enough. So we recommend, if you're going to need to vote by mail, get that in early on. Actually, get it in before October 1st so that we can get that ballot prepared, mailed out the first day of early voting, and then you have time to look your ballot over, vote it, and get it back to us.
And if you get your ballot and you forget to mail it and it's a couple days before early voting ends, you can always drop it off at the drop box outside.
Correct. Or drop it off in our office if you want to make sure that, you know, you see it handed to us.
So you've got lots of options on voting. It's not just voting day. So it gives everybody an opportunity to be able to get what they want to vote for in. All right, well, we will talk more about elections and what you guys do here at the Board of Elections after this. I've been chatting with the Director of the Board of Elections, Lisa Welch, here on WKLM. This is Melissa Patrick for WKLM with the Board of Elections Director, Lisa Welch, and we've been talking all about elections and what they do here at the Board of Elections. And one of the things you guys do for Election Day is get all the poll workers lined up and where they need to go. And there's a lot more that goes into that than just, hey, who wants to do this? You know, there's specific things you guys have to do to become a poll worker.
Yes, we need approximately 75 poll workers for each election out at the polling location. So sometimes we will plan for like 115 if it's a presidential election year, so we can send extra people out to some of the polling locations, or we can have people on standby in case people get sick. I remember vividly the year of the primary that we had COVID, and we lost a lot of poll workers early on because they had health concerns and they were afraid to work. So we had to find other people to cover those positions. So we always need backup poll workers. We have to have an even number of poll workers at the polling location. So it's equally Democrat and Republican. We can fill in with unaffiliated voters, but generally we try to avoid that because we want to make sure that we have a bipartisan team. We especially in Holmes County have a shortage of Democrats in the eastern portion of the county. So if you live in the eastern part of the county, or you're willing to drive over to the eastern part of the county on Election Day and you're a Democrat, we would greatly appreciate you contacting us, letting us know. Once you contact us about being a poll worker, if we have availability, we will assign you. And we will train you. So you have to come in for a 3 or 4 hour training, generally before, like 2 weeks before the election. We go over the equipment. We go over the rules. People think it's just sitting there and checking a name in the book. But it's so much more than that now, because now we have provisional voting, which allows people who forgot to get registered or update their registration ahead of time and they've moved, or somebody who was registered and then 2 days before the election they moved, so they need to get updated to the current address, or, you know, they've got married, need to get their name changed,
or they don't have a photo ID.
So there's all those special situations that we have to train you to handle. And then you're also responsible for tabulating everything at the end of the night. So all the ballots that got cast have to be counted down. We run the tabulation equipment. You should come up with the same number of ballots that they had, you know, scanned into the machine. Plus, you've got to count all the ballots that weren't used and anything that was soiled and defaced if somebody made a mistake on their ballot and turned it back in. And then all those numbers have to come together and reconcile, just like your checkbook does.
And it's not a volunteer position. They do get paid to do this. So you're not just, you know, volunteering your day. You are compensated.
It is pretty much a community service, but you're only paid the federal minimum wage. So right now for that 15-hour day, you have to arrive at 5:30 in the morning at your polling place, and you don't leave until everything's wound down around 8:30. So you're going to get paid that minimum federal minimum wage of $133.72 for the day. We will pay you for training, and there are options for also taking an online training course that just you can do the night before if you want to do as a refresher, and we pay you for that also. And if you agree to be a voting location manager and you're hauling supplies out to the polling location and back, we also have a mileage stipend for that. Or if you are one of the Democratic poll workers that ride back with your Republican voting location manager, we will give you a $5 stipend for that extra time that you're being used.
And you don't have to live in the location where the poll is that you're working. You can kind of move the poll workers around a little bit. So don't think, well, I live over here, I can't be a poll worker over there. Especially if you're a Democrat, you can move across the county to whatever poll you're needed at.
Correct. You've got to live in the county and be a registered voter in the county, but we can use you anywhere in the county. So we do have some polling locations where we are shy one party because maybe somebody's, you know, having surgery or can't work this election because they have a relative on the ballot. So we bring in people from their party from another precinct. So you can move to other precincts. If you're interested in working in another precinct, let us know. We will fit you into our puzzle.
And if you're running on the ballot, you cannot work as a poll worker.
Correct. And the only exception is if you're an uncontested central committee member running, you know, uncontested. That's it. That's the only reason that you should be able to work in the precinct where your name appears on the ballot.
That's a lot of great information, and hopefully you guys can get some people who want to help be a poll worker. And I think the last thing we need to talk about is what happens after the election, and we'll do that after this little break. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM, speaking with the Board of Elections Director, Lisa Welch, here on Your Hometown Radio. This is Melissa Patrick with WKLM, speaking with Board of Elections Director Lisa Welch. And you know, we've had a lot of information, a real learning session about what you guys do here at the Board of Elections and how the elections in Holmes County come together. But what happens when the election's over?
So first thing on election night, when those election results are coming in, we start by releasing the absentee ballot vote. So everything that we have at 7:30 that evening gets tabulated at 7:30, and we try to have it released by 7:45, the results of the absentee votes. But we have to work in teams. We have to upload a thumb drive from a scanner into a ballot tabulator, and then we have to run reports, and we have to check and make sure all the numbers reconcile. Every I is dotted, every T is crossed. So it takes us a little bit of time, and then we will release those results either on our website or here at our office. We do have a bulletin board we put printed results on as they come out. Those results are also uploaded to the Secretary of State on the one separate computer. We scan that information in, and then it goes to their system. So you can also see it on the Secretary of State's website for the large races. So we're talking district races for candidates, or statewide races, any state issues, or things that go across our boundaries. For our local results, then, they get posted here, so you're going to have to check with us or on our website.
Or
WKLM. And we then start uploading results from each precinct as they come in, and that usually starts happening around 8 o'clock. The first results start coming in from, you know, our local polling locations. Those results, we go through the same process all over again, and so we have to reconcile after each group. And it takes a little bit of time, but it's game on, and we usually are ready for it. And we have a great team here of Democrats and Republicans that work together to double check everything. When we get everything done at the end of the night on election night, there are a few things that we have to do. We have to let the Secretary of State's office know how many outstanding absentee ballots there are. So these are ballots that we have not received back at 7:30 on election night. These are ballots that are hopefully in the mail and on their way to us. They have 4 days to get to us. They have to be here by Saturday at noon. We also have provisional ballots that we have to let them know how many there are, because that can affect the outcome of a race. And our election night results are not final by any means. Those, you know, can change, because we will be adding in absentee and provisional ballots and maybe a hospitalized voter that we got the ballot back for, but we didn't have time to get remade and processed into the system yet. So we reconcile everything that night to the best of our ability, give those numbers to the Secretary of State, post them. We review any write-ins we have. We have until 10 o'clock or 12 o'clock the next morning, if we have write-ins, to review and make sure that they're all verified. And then the next day, what we're doing is we're going through every single book and making sure the correct person was marked as having voted, and they will get credit for voting when we upload information to our system or, you know, hand key it in. That takes us several days. In that same time period, a couple of us are working on provisional ballots. So we go through every provisional envelope. And a provisional voter is somebody who had a reason not to be voting a regular ballot at the polls. It could be somebody that moved into a polling precinct. It could be somebody who changed their name and we don't have their current name on file. It can be somebody who didn't have the proper voter identification when they went to the polls. Let's say you went and your driver's license had expired and you forgot to get it renewed. So you can still vote a provisional, but you have 4 days after the election to show us that new driver's license or interim documentation from the BMV. We also have people who requested an absentee, but they never got it, so they can vote a provisional also. So we're going to be going through those provisionals, processing them, verifying the person did not vote where they used to be registered if they moved, and verifying the information that we have on file. After that, we have what we call a provisional disposition meeting. That's usually the Wednesday after a week after the election. The board meets, they review all the provisionals that we've reviewed and make sure everything's in order, and then they choose which ones they will accept and add and which ones will not be counted. We do a total and make sure everything matches, review everything that we have in front of us again, and the following week we will issue our certification of official results.
It's a process that people think, oh, now here, there, boom, done, and there's a lot more that goes into it.
And after we do all that, then we have a paper audit, which is where we go back and we count at least 5% of the ballots. We lay out the ballots and we count and make sure that that 5% or more matches what the computer said the results were.
It's a whole process and it takes a team. And you said you guys have a great bipartisan team, and that's what's important about keeping our elections fair.
Yes.
Well, it has been a journey learning about how this works. I hope that people have a better understanding and hopefully participate more, whether it be voting for the first time or running for an office or becoming a poll worker. I hope this has kind of helped them learn more about that.
I would love to have some feedback from this. So if you're interested in being a poll worker, let us know. If you want to learn more about like the public test that we do or the logic and accuracy testing, stop by and we'll go over it with you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us and letting us learn more about what you do.
That was Lisa Welch, the Director of the Board of Elections for Holmes County. For WKLM, I'm Melissa Patrick. That was this week's edition of Focus Friday that has been brought to you by Hobbins Insurance, Holmes Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. On next week's edition of Focus Friday, we'll focus on the Holmes County Dog Warden, Jonathan Beam. Tune in every Friday for Focus Fridays here on WKLM.